Kale and Company weekday mornings, 6 till 10.
Tuesday morning, we're in the mid-50s now, heating up to 79 degrees with sunshine today. And we are sponsored this morning by Joseph Anthony Retreat Spa and Salon. So two trials to talk about. Number one, we know that the wife of former U.S. Senator Bob Menendez, Nadine Menendez, convicted yesterday of teaming up with her hubby to accept bribes of cash, the gold bars, the luxury vehicle from three New Jersey men looking for help with their business dealings or maybe some of their legal troubles that they wanted resolved. But that jury returning its verdict in the same federal courthouse there in Manhattan, where a different jury convicted Bob Menendez, dubbed, nicknamed Gold Bar Bob,
Gold since Bar
we're going to
Bob.
Talk about nicknames later.
GBB.
Of many of those same charges. So as far as Bob Menendez, he is supposed to begin serving an 11-year prison term. That's happening in June. And so Nadine Menendez convicted and now facing sentencing.
Does it say what the sentencing range or the sentencing guidelines are? Because if I recall correctly, and Dawn, I think you had this in one of your news reports, she was suffering from, is it stage 4 breast cancer?
Yeah, breast cancer.
I mean, if she serves any considerable amount of jail time, I mean, there's a possibility that, she could die in prison from breast cancer. Could you imagine what it would be like to die in prison from a disease like that? That has got to be one of the most awful ways to end your life. Ugh. And Gold Bar Bob, of all people, he threw, and I'm not saying she's innocent by any stretch, but he packed the bus over his wife during yes. these ordeals. You talk about slime balls.
Yeah, so she, you know, I think that she could face, you know, she could face as well the same type of a decade. Now, you know, so she could face a decade behind bars.
Wow.
That's why they had said for him, they called it a death sentence if he was sentenced to that length.
Right.
But both of them, husband and wife, say they're innocent. They claim they never took any bribes. And so it looks like he's 71. So that's why they were saying, you know, if he, yeah. if he in you know, the summer, if they put him to 11 years in prison.
She's younger, right?
Yeah. So yeah. she's younger, but, I mean, she would get free health care. You know, you do get all the health care in prison. So she would get the best of health care, they say.
It's another story for another day.
Yeah. But yeah, she is a late 50s. But prosecutors say, as far as the former senator, that he also, you know, helped, for example, one businessman alone secure a $95 million investment from a Qatari investment fund. I mean, these were big bucks that they're alleging.
Yeah.
I love that these politicians being yeah. found out, by the way.
Yeah.
Like, just the,
What was one of his defenses? That's the way we do it in our heritage, our culture. We just keep gold bars in our next to our handkerchiefs.
Yeah.
Yes. Scumbags. Alleged. Scumbags.
Well, no.
No, he's convicted.
Yeah. All right, good. Good.
Confirmed scumbag.
Thank you. Just have to be careful.
Convicted creep.
So we've got that going on. Also, another trial closer to home. Opening statements begin this morning in a couple of hours in the trial of Maurice Hill. You'll remember this case. He's now 41 years old, accused of shooting six police officers during a huge standoff in North Philadelphia's Nicetown, Tioga neighborhood. It gripped the city nearly 6 years ago. Made national headlines, horrible situation. Jury selection for Hill's latest trial took about 4 hours yesterday, so they seated the trial, the panel of six men, six women, and this all unfolded. It was mid-August back in, 2019. In the afternoon, these were narcotics officers trying to serve a warrant at a home near North 15th and West Butler Streets, and this is when the officers entered the kitchen of the home. When Hill, they accuse Hill, who was armed, they say, with a rifle, opened fire on those officers. And if you remember what was going on at the time, it was a huge law enforcement response. They had to evacuate the neighborhood. Remember, there was a daycare
Yep.
that was nearby. It was a horrible situation in the city. And so police, two Philadelphia police officers, three civilians were trapped inside the home. Eventually were evacuated by SWAT. It was unbelievable. So this guy's on trial now. And if you look at his rap sheet, you know, I don't know if you want to get into it, but a long rap sheet for this accused.
If you open fire on six officers in the theme of Stalker with the firing squad,
yeah,
those six officers should get to, now thankfully there was no fatalities, but those officers, if there were, should be able to select one family member or friend to join the firing squad and all take shots at this piece of garbage.
And do it just like it was done to them.
Yeah.
Like shoot him in the leg, shoot him in the arms.
Uh-huh. Yep.
Let me, can I, if found guilty, obviously if found guilty, there's that due process.
Yeah, innocent, Greg. Hey, everybody has rights.
Innocent until proven guilty. But if he's found guilty, when he's found guilty, because he will be, you know, they need to let me administer the punishment.
Yeah.
If you look Thank at you. This guy's rap sheet, which starts at age 18, which means we don't see the juvenile records.
Yeah, I'm sure. Yeah. I'm sure he was a choir boy until he turned 18. Yeah.
Boy Scout.
Yeah.
But I'll say the latest one, just going through the rap sheet that I have, in 2008, he was convicted of resisting arrest, criminal trespass, fleeing from police.
Mm.
3 years later, he pleaded guilty to aggravated assault and was found guilty of that. And that was in 2013. So this guy from 2001, you know, if you look at that rap sheet going forward, and so now he's going on trial. If you want to ask why 6 years later, it was, they say the delays were due to the pandemic. Remember, all the courts were closed. Everything here was closed.
Yeah. Should have just let him run around the town in 2020, contract COVID and die.
I'm sure he's a victim of the system.
Yes.
And he was raised in poverty, and it was a single mother, and she did the best she could. But little Johnny, you know, left to his own whims. You know, she had to work three jobs.
Yeah, my daughters were about 4 years away from dating. This is the kind of guy I hope they end up with. No, that's not true.
I was going to say, what the hell is wrong with you?
What?
Losers.
No idea what you just said. Okay.
Well, speaking of the Utes and...
Not the kind of guy I want my daughter to marry.
Yeah,
in case I missed that.
Low bar. Philadelphia police.
Well, we got gold bars and low bars.
And we talked this morning. We updated that story, and Greg had all kinds of audio from the news conference that took place yesterday. Philadelphia police partnering with Temple University police as they're working to catch more of these suspects, revealing and releasing all kinds of new screenshots, surveillance images of these teens. And suspects between the ages of 11 to 17-ish.
11.
Yeah, 11.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you got to start them young.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. God. Yeah. Throw the book at them at 11, because there's no hope for them, honestly.
Yeah.
You know?
We should throw up a poll question. Would you let your kid attend Temple? I don't know that I would.
That's actually a good... Phil, put that up. Would you let your kids attend Temple? That's a great poll question.
I would much rather send them to Penn. If they're going to a public school, I'd much rather send them to Penn State. Main campus, that is.
Yeah. Well, Philadelphia police still searching for these suspects. They say hundreds of these underage Utes, the youths, were out and about. It was over the weekend, Easter weekend, and so they assaulted, looks like a handful, at least five Temple University students, as well as some other individuals. No life-threatening injuries, but at least one or two people were thrown to the ground. They had some assaults. They had at least one or two robberies going on, and this was all North Philadelphia in and around the Temple University campus.
Well, this is so the poll's up on YouTube, youtube.com/@1210WPHT. It's very early because they just put it out. There's only 14 votes, but it's 94% no.
Yeah.
By the way, who's the 6% that say yes?
Cheap bastards.
Well, I mean, look, I my neighbors send their kids there, and yeah. It's like, well, do we see these stories and is it overblown? You know what I mean? Like, you grew up in the city.
Well, you grew up in the city now.
And, you know, this is just, I don't know, it's just a way of.
This is city culture.
Yeah.
But if you're from outside of the, you know, border of Philadelphia, if you're a Lehigh Valley kid. It's a little different. It's a little culture shock. And I grew up in some not terrible areas, but it was, you know, far from a gated golf community. And when I went to Temple, and I only commuted. I was only a commuter for 2 years. I transferred there for my junior and senior year. And I didn't want to live on campus. I wanted to save money as well. But also, I didn't want to be on North Broad every single night. And I remember my campus tour, they said, hey, don't go making a left at this street corner after dark. It won't end well.
Yeah.
Like, that hits you right upside your head. Especially when you have, like, a protective parent. My mom's like, oh, no, you can commute. I'm like, yeah, I think I will.
Well, and that's your 6%. It's a high-quality education, and as you pointed out, it's a value with the money. But the problem is, I think a lot of parents are saying, yeah, you can commute. You're not going to live there
because
it's not safe in North Philadelphia.
87% right now say no. John's like, I didn't answer. It's effing obvious. Yeah, okay, dude, just answer the poll question, okay?
Come on,
Lord.
Come on.
Great. Overanalyzes that.
Can you please participate?
Answer the poll question. Damn it.
We've been talking about the death and all the funeral services of Pope Francis. Saturday, 10 a.m. is the funeral, St. Peter's Square.
What did he die of?
He died technically, I believe it was a stroke.
Hmm. Oh. Well, it was pneumonia in the lead up, right?
It was a pneumonia.
Yeah.
He had everything. It was pneumonia, fungal, viral, bacterial infections.
Oh, fungal.
Yeah, fungal.
Well, a couple months ago, we were like saying, when's the white smoke coming out, right? Because he was on his deathbed a couple months ago.
Yeah, what was that? Was that he was on a respirator or a ventilator for a while?
He had pneumonia, yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
So we know that President Trump and First Lady Melania, they plan to attend Saturday morning's funeral, as well as the Argentine President, Javier Milei. So he will be there as well, and we'll hear about more dignitaries and more of these disclosures as we learn those details.
How old was he?
88. Suffered a stroke and led him. So it put him in a coma and led his heart to fail.
Yeah. The only pope, by the way, to poll lower than Joe Biden. Sorry.
It's not nice.
I'm just saying, a lot of people in my Catholic circles said that he was not the most beloved pontiff in the history of the position.
True. Maybe not the most popular. But
why did he cover up kid touchers like the rest of them did?
Oh boy!
No,
you really did miss this, didn't you?
No, so the truth is, he was in between. So I mean, John Paul II was beloved, obviously.
What was beloved?
John Paul II from 1978.
I was just going
to
say
all the way to 2005.
My grandmother in the early 90s, boy, she loved him. Oh my God!
Well, I mean, you could really argue him, Ronald Reagan, and Margaret Thatcher really kind of that was the unity ticket, really. I mean, I know that, but they worked together, and it was a different time.
It was a different time.
Yes.
Yep.
But in between there, remember, it was Benedict.
Yeah.
So Pope Benedict, remember, was Ratzinger was his birth name. So he was in between John Paul II,
2005 to like
Pope Francis, 2013. Yeah.
Yep.
So he was sandwiched in there, and it was under his unfortunate reign that they had to deal with the clergy sex scandal. Uh-huh. He was, by the way, Benedict was I was looking at this yesterday. He was the first pope in like 600 years to resign, because usually you die on that job.
Yeah,
you pass away.
It's like the Supreme Court.
Exactly.
It's a lifetime position.
Oh, my Lord.
Term limits on the pope.
Goodness. do you want Christy Noem's cash purse? You want that out of news or in news? What do you want?
We can do it after the news.
So we'll do it after the news. There's a lot going on. Obviously, student loan borrowers, 5 million student loan borrowers in default. Education Department says they'll be referred now to debt collection. So getting tough may start basically taking it out of people's wages.
Wow.
So getting aggressive with student loan borrowers.
It's one of the easiest, and I shouldn't say the easiest is not the correct terminology, but student loans are so easy to pause. And, you know, like when I was out of work in radio twice during the pandemic, I think I've paused my student loans for, quote, hardship like three times.
Yeah.
Like the interest rate's 3%. Yeah, it's, I mean, like I get some people fall bad luck, tough times, but this is not like a credit card with 30. How the hell you can't pay off a student loan is beyond me.
It's funny, when my wife and I went through this, obviously, and like you said, Nick, when we were first starting out, there were some lean years. So we did, when we were flush with cash, we would overpay.
Right.
And then when we were, you know, when we had more lean years, we would pause them for a while.
Yeah.
And by overpaying those months, years that we did that, actually sped everything along.
Mm-hmm.
So it was all awash.
Yeah.
In the end.
My my financial advisor a couple of months ago when we were getting our plan together to get our house this summer, he's like, don't pay off your student loan. It's 3%. Pay off the stuff that's 20%, 25%, 30%. Not that you need a financial advisor to realize that. I mean, if you're a basic math person, you realize pay off 30%. But like there's almost no value in paying off the loan completely. Just make the minimum payment, and you're not going to be bludgeoned to death with interest, unless those interest rates have changed in the last 20 years. But when I got it, it was like 2.93%.
Well, in this one, to give you the stats, we're looking at 5 million people initially. However, another 4 million people are anywhere between 91 to 180 days late on their loan payments. Ooh. So you have a total of 9 million people there. Remember, though, Joe Biden, under his presidency, canceled student loan debt for more than 5 million borrowers, waiving more than nearly $184 billion, with a B, dollars in student loans through all of his expanded forgiveness. So Linda McMahon was the one yesterday who released a statement and saying, basically, they're getting tough on these borrowers, and if you are in default, it's going to affect your credit score, and they can go into your paycheck.
Yeah, good. As it should be. It shouldn't be passed off to anybody else, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm not paying for somebody else's student loan. This notion that Biden just waved his wand and ignored the Supreme Court and the bills disappear. The bill doesn't disappear. These lenders are getting their money back. They're not just doing this out of the goodness of their heart.
Jennifer Kelly on the YouTube chat says student loans aren't 3% anymore. Mine was over 7%.
Yeah.
Well, that's a you problem.
Well.
What do you want me to do?
I would just say take Nick's advice and call him up, get on a payment plan.
Yeah.
You know, that was good advice, because I think they're getting serious with this.
Mm-hmm.
College is a waste of time. Stop going.
Go to the trades. I agree.
Seriously.
Start making $100,000 right out of the trade school after 18 months.
My wife and I were paying off student loans. Neither of us used our degree, and we're both doing great.
Yeah.
So make of that what you will.
Yeah.
We are sponsored by Joseph Anthony Retreat Spa and Salon on this beautiful day, weather-wise, a beautiful week weather-wise, really, because we're getting up to 79 degrees, and I know it's a little foggy this morning and a little rain overnight, but just a beautiful stretch today through Friday. Saturday, unfortunately, it looks like we might have a chance of rain and a little bit cooler, lower 70s. But this week, mid to high 70s the rest of the week. But today, I think the warmest weekday was 79 degrees. Joseph Anthony Retreat Spa and Salon. Doesn't that sound nice? The secret to spoiling the moms in your life, among others, this spring. Now with three locations, Glen Mills, Springfield, Center City, at the Lowe's Hotel. Visit in person or online. JosephAnthony.com. Gift cards are always available. JosephAnthony.com. Thank you for sponsoring Kale & Company News Live.
All right, Dawn, thank you very much. Yeah, the weather, I was texting Zioli yesterday. I said, dude, this week might have to happen. Sandal season is back. I might have to bring the flip-flops out. But then I looked at the dogs, and I realized I might need a Joseph Anthony gift card. I got to get a little footwork
done. A little
done.
Pedicure?
Yeah, a little bit.
Petty?
It's not beneath me. I am comfortable in my masculinity.
Good.
And my sexuality. I love a good manicure. I love a good pedicure.
Got to take care of your feet.
That's right.
Do you have hair on them's feet?
I do. Yeah. I do.
Do they wax? They could wax?
Yeah.
They could do whatever they want. It feels tremendous.
Wax them off.
Any man that says they're against a pedicure or manicure is a liar. Or they don't know good pleasure.
I will tell you that I nothing against our good friends at Joseph Anthony Salon, Spa, and Retreat. I'm not a pedicure guy.
No.
Well, by the way, would you like an update on my finger?
Yeah. You see actually, it? Speaking of getting your fingers worked on.
Do you see it? Here, close up.
Ring finger is still really bruised.
Yeah, it's better, though.
Yeah?
Like, I'm better.
So are you still day-to-day for the bike ride?
It was touch and go there for a while.
Touch and go?
Yeah.
Are you going to be able to grip those bike handles?
Dawn, you weren't here. I slammed my fingers in a ladder.
Holy crap!
Yeah, I thought I was going to. lose my finger. It hurt so bad.
That's worse.
Yeah. But I'm okay. I will, right now, tentative, I'm going to do the bike ride.
Have you Woo-hoo! Picked up the bike from Road Warrior yet?
Love Road Warrior.
You mean down there at a...
Yeah, have you made the trek to Jersey?
Manahawkin, New Jersey.
That long, long, arduous task of going to New Jersey to pick up a bike?
I was very busy over the last couple of days.
Do you need my Honda Ridgeline bed?
What were you doing?
I was doing things. Huh? I'm doing things.
Do you need a truck to pick up the bike? I know you have one of those low-energy crossover kind of identity crisis SUVs.
Well, I have to drop off my bike and our bikes because I want to get them all tuned up, so... I could pick up your bike in my minivan and just drop it off at your house.
Are you going to take it down to Road Warrior Shop at Independent
Bike? I love him. He gave me that shirt.
Independent Bike Shops in Manahawkin.
Yeah. I nominate Road Warrior to take over for Jennifer Griffin, head of security at Temple University.
Yeah.
I think he could do a better job. All right, coming up next, let's finally get to Hegseth and Christy Noem. Have to get through both of these before we get to the cut sheet, and the cut sheet is super juicy. Stay tuned. It's Kale and Company live on a Tuesday. But first, a word from our friends at Natural Lawn of America, because when you're choosing a lawn care service, and by the way, you drive around today, you see how many people have a beautiful yard. Doesn't that make you envious? Don't you get a little jealous when you've got your little burned out lawn, you got dirt, and you got the dog goes out and he does his thing and he kills the grass? Why not use Natural Lawn of America? That's my lawn care company, because they believe in growing greener, healthier lawns without the harsh chemicals. And they use environmentally friendly products to keep your lawn lush and green. That protects the kids and those pets. From organic fertilizers to safer weed and insect controls, they make sure that your lawn thrives naturally, season after season, and you can join the growing number of homeowners that are switching to Natural Lawn Safer Services and start enjoying that beautiful, eco-friendly lawn that you can be proud of. Give them a call today at 800-FREE-SEED, and when you schedule Natural Lawn's full-service program today, you're going to get free seeding every single year. If you want a greener, healthier lawn plus free seeding every year, call Natural Lawn at 800-FREE-SEED, locally owned, family operated, Natural Lawn of America. Greener grass, fewer weeds, guaranteed.
It's Kale and Company on demand from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the free Odyssey app.
Join 1210 WPHT for a raw discussion. Myself, Dawn Stensland, Dom Giordano, Rich Zeoli, Politics and Pints. It is coming up at the Colonial Theater in Phoenixville. That is Tuesday night, May 6th, 7:30 start time. I believe doors open at 5:30.
5:30.
If I've read correctly.
5:30.
That's right.
By the way, the Colonial Theater in Phoenixville, an amazing venue. An amazing venue. I saw the Blob there. The Blaub. And that's for you, Kale.
Yeah, Ms. Blau.
And it's an amazing venue. Thank you to Phoenixville. Thank you to the people in Phoenixville for... Because I know, look, it's not super easy getting venues for places like this. They're like, what radio station are you with? I'm like, nah, that's it. We're good. We have something that day. We have a recital, recital.
We're getting the asbestos out of the building. Yeah. Call back next year.
Yeah, tickets are going super fast for this. So if you're on the fence about it, 1210wphd.com, I wouldn't wait. I would do it now because it will sell out. And these things are always a fun time. So come out to Phoenixville and join everybody for we're going to involve the crowd. Some people ask if I'm involved in it. No, I'm not.
Will you be there? Are you even going to be there?
Of course I'll be there. It's my radio station.
Okay.
Of course I'm going to be there. I'm just not going to be on stage with you people.
Okay.
You All people. Right. You the people. Youth. But we're going to involve the crowd. So, if you have questions, you can ask questions of Nick, Dawn, Dom, Rich.
Chris Eppolito says on Twitter, in regards to our billboard with Dawn, Dom, myself, and Rich from left to right across your social media dial.
Yeah.
This looks like an HR review board for a job I'd probably want to pass on. Hashtag be gentle.
Yeah, I didn't... The photo that they put out on social, let me see if I can pull it up real fast.
It's a great photo, actually.
It's a little... I mean, Rich's head is a little bigger, and I don't know. It doesn't...
It looks good to me.
Okay.
I've got no complaints with that.
All right.
Dawn looks great.
Oh, I always, I always hate the way I look in the picture. I'm like, can you just put
that's the TV in you.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's the woman in me, too. Women are.
Dom looks like he's about 15 years younger in that photo. Love you, Dom. And Zioli's head is big. It's like they zoomed in and they didn't use the same dimensions.
Yeah. It's like we did paint by numbers for this.
I love the fact that we're kind of hanging over the balcony at the top of the White House.
Yep.
A good look.
May 6th, right? May 6th.
May 6th.
That's coming up soon. I can't believe we're already in May.
By the way, I'm getting a special suit for that night.
Oh God.
Yeah, because I just realized that every one that I have is now either too big or too tight. Most of them too tight, but I have one that's still too big.
Don't be in a suit, dude. Like, it doesn't suit you. Honestly.
Oh, no, trust me. When I clean up and I go real good suit, that god-awful Cal. Thing I wore with Dawn in December.
Cal.
You looked good in that.
Cal.
But I'm not going tie. It's going to be unbuttoned dress shirt, sport coat.
No.
We like the Ray Donovan shirt.
We like you because you're casual.
Oh. So you want me to go? Should I come in my Fetterman attire?
Let Zioli and Dom wear the sport coats. You come without a sport coat.
All right.
Thank you.
I was looking at a couple of different locations and deals.
Thank you, Phil.
Yeah.
Phil put the photo up there.
Yeah.
The problem with the photos are, except for Rich, they're all old photos of all of you people.
Yeah, I know. That was back when I was thinner and still fat.
Like, that picture that you have, Kale, youtube.com/at1210wph,
it's from
the it's from the hub here when we all took that picture.
Yes.
It was, like, horrible.
Right, it was the one that Dawn was late for. She was in the potty for, like, 40 minutes.
I wasn't late. I was on the air.
She was on the air.
I was on the air until noon, and I ran to the bathroom and got there by 12:17.
12:30.
Mister.
Not that I was tracking this in the minutes.
You know, 12:17.
Should have been in the REM cycle of my nap. Try to be a team guy. But
to your point, Nick, they could have just taken your picture separately, Greg's picture, at like 10 o'clock.
Well, they're
going to superimpose it anyway.
That's a great point.
There's an epidemic in radio with radio groups that just want to do photos in February. Hey, it's got to stop. It's madness. Nobody feels good about themselves in February.
Oh, that's a great point.
We're pale, we're pasty, we're fat, we're frumpy.
Speak for yourself, bud.
Yeah, some of us have eczema. Yeah, I mean, can we do it in July?
Yeah.
I mean, nothing else going on around here in July.
Yeah.
Or like a back-to-school photo, September.
Yes.
August, September.
Yes.
I agree with you.
By the way, I'm picturing everybody that's tuning in at 7:30, you know, prime drive time, and we're talking about a photo of ourselves.
So everybody's mad at me for talking about that, so I'll talk about Pete Hegseth. How about that?
Can I say one more thing? We have some friends, Teresa and George, who went to, on the conservative tours, the Italy trip. Mm. They're like, where do we get the tickets?
1210WPHD.com. 1210WPHD.com.
So I sent you the link, Teresa. I texted you.
1210WPHD.com. It's pretty easy.
All right.
1210WPHD.com. Yep. Can I say it again?
When I click on it goes to eventplus.odyssey.com. When I click on buy tickets.
Oh, for God's sake.
But anyway, let's take a look here. I texted you the link.
Let's see I just clicked on it myself.
Okay, I'm going to put the link. I will tweet this out.
I see it right there. Tickets on sale now.
You have it?
Yeah. It's right there. Okay. You should be able to find this. Yeah,
they're
right
going
there.
Quick. So stop what you're doing.
It's on Bridge Street. If you've ever been in that neighborhood in Phoenixville,
it's great.
You can't miss it. Great location.
By the way, they have like during the summer they have like events there and like all the bars spill out and it's a great street right there.
Yeah,
great street.
Maybe they'll have us for a photo op in July as well for the website and we can post those after Labor Day.
May 6th, get tickets now. This will be like it's very rare that we do a Politics and Pints with everybody. Usually it's just one or two. You know what I mean? Now it's everybody. So depending on how the tickets sell for this and how you, the listener, and you, the fan, reacts to it, we might do more.
Okay.
So do over. Oh, yeah. Thank you, Phil. Phil put the link up there on the YouTube chat.
Perfect.
So get them. I expect to see every Schaefer, Robert, Heaven 01, 91 LSXer, especially you, 91 LSXer. I got to meet you, pal.
Yeah.
Come on. I mean,
he's a good poster.
You're a great poster. You don't come to any events. Bryn Mawr Builders better be there. Carl Mayer better be there. L. Bucciano, which is Tony and Pottstown, I believe. Yeah. Swami Mommy better be there. Magglemush. Yeah, Susie Loves Jeffy. You guys all better be there.
I want to meet some of the people I haven't met yet. It's a great point.
Yeah.
You know, I've met Chris Forsyth. I've met Kevin Poles. I've met, a lot of people 8 to 12 different times. I want to meet some of the other people that have made themselves a part of the YouTube community or on that godforsaken, never-ending Twitter thread that you guys tag me on with 48 of you. It's like a running chronicle. It goes back months.
Oh yeah.
Oh my God.
On Twitter with
everybody.
I think Road Warrior's in that too.
Yeah. Like, I have no idea what's being. It's like a separate world.
Sergeant Mark Fusetti will be there. Thank you, Sergeant.
Oh, nice,
Mark.
Thank you.
Beautiful.
Jose, Jesus, come on.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, come on,
Jesus from North Philly.
We're gonna Jimmy Matthews.
Yeah.
Jimmy Matthews. Yes, we want Jimmy Matthews there.
Yes.
By the way, he sent me an article. Apparently, the his uncle Chris is doing a Hardball Substack, so you can.
Oh, really? We should have him on sometime.
Nah, I'm good. I'm good.
How many people do you think will actually sign up for that Substack? 9.
A lot of people.
No, yeah,
he's popular. I mean,
yeah, he is.
20.
Especially here.
Yeah.
Prior to LaSalle College.
Actually. There you go. I don't even have time for the.
Yeah, you do. Yeah,
do we? Yeah. All right. Let me get to Hegseth. And I also want to get to Christy Noem. I'm going to defend Christy Noem. But I mentioned this with Hegseth in the Big Take. And I'm a big fan of Hegseth. I thought that he was deserving of the job despite the fact that he might not have the, quote, qualifications. I like when people are given opportunities when they don't have the traditional career path. But this is, when I look at this story now, and this was a part of the Big Take about this now second alleged Signal chat that was revealed, I start to think to myself, people in life have a routine. People in life have tendencies, and people are creatures of habit. So one of two things is true here. Either Pete Hegseth is on the receiving end of a coordinated collusion-based effort to destroy his career by warmongers in the Pentagon, Republicans and Democrats alike, that want this guy out, that never thought he should have been allowed to enter their little sacred space within the Pentagon building. Or there is a real pattern here of poor decision-making by Pete Hegseth. And I bring that up because, again, I never said on this show that Pete Hegseth shouldn't get the job because of marital failures. Multiple marital failures. They seem like they were his fault. They are verified. It's not an allegation. The guy hasn't had the best luck with marriages the first couple of times around.
Yeah.
Then there's the alleged drinking issues. And I say alleged. We don't know it. We've heard many.
Pete said he said that he had a problem.
Well, yes,
and that he's a different person.
But I'm referring to the allegations of his, you know, hungover or intoxicated while being on the air at Fox. The hosts have defended him. Now I don't know if it's just because he and Will Cain and Rachel Campos Duffy are besties and it's talent protecting talent. I don't know if it's a rogue producer with an axe to grind. But you take the marital stuff, the drinking stuff. You take Signal chat app number one, that story, and now the second one, where he is reportedly basically revealing information to his wife. And I sit there and I say, all right, well, there seems to be a pattern here. Either this is Russia, Russia, Russia all over again with Trump, or there's some smoke, where there's smoke, there's fire, right? So I ask myself the question, is Pete Hegseth in over his head? Does he not have the basic, I don't know if decorum's the right word. I'm not saying, like, I appreciate the transparency of this administration, but in this role, you do have to be a bit of a clandestine figure and keep things on the DL, whether it's the Houthis or Ukraine or Iran or Russia. Mm-hmm. And like I said in the Big Take, I don't tell my wife what's on the cut sheet. I protect that. It's very important. I'm being facetious here. But, I mean, is there something here with Hegseth? Now, again, Don Bacon's a total rhino weasel. He always votes with Democrats. He was the one I cited in the Big Take from Politico. Well, if it was up to me, it's indefensible. And I'm not saying it's defensible, but is there something here? Because we played you the clip in the Big Take, and Hegseth kind of gave you the Trump speak of, you know, axes to grind, the media being the media. I always do say this, whether it's about a sexual assault, lawsuits, allegations, timing is always fascinating to me. It is odd that in the days after multiple Pentagon leakers were identified and fired, good job by Pam Bondi, by the way, credit where credit's due, that this story comes out. But is this a nothing burger, or is this a guy that maybe is very giddy in a role? And again, I don't think he's unqualified. I think he's perfectly, he's the right guy I want leading this group. But is he a little too loose with the lips here? And I think in any walk of life, sometimes just biting your tongue or not picking up the phone and entering some characters in a chat box can serve you well. Discretion, the better part of valor. I think that's how they say it. Is there something here to that? Or is this a complete made up? I don't want to say hoax. I'm getting tired of the word hoax. I'm all hoaxed out. Is this an axe to grind by somebody that was let go trying to derail Pete's career? What's your read on this story?
Well, Caroline Leavitt, yesterday at 1:30 in the afternoon, she put out that this was all fake news, doubled down. The president commented on it yesterday. I believe he, right? Wasn't it during the Easter egg?
Yes, they asked him, kids were like out in the little yard doing scavenger hunt thing.
And he had the golden whistle. I love the golden whistle.
Yeah.
So they've said that this is all fake news. Then NPR was reporting that the White House is quietly looking for his replacement. And that, I think, was the latest that Caroline Leavitt was commenting, saying, nope, this is all fake news. So they're defending him.
I find it hard to believe that they would replace him.
In public.
I don't think they will replace him. I think Trump at this point, I mean, he's almost 100 days into the second term. I don't think he's going to allow an outside narrative, whether it's a narrative or it's fact. I don't think he gives a damn.
The media has to learn that when NPR and Politico and those places report stuff like this, the administration is just going to double down.
Yep.
So if their goal is to get Pete Hegseth out, what they should report is that everything is great. Trump absolutely loves Pete Hegseth. Mm-hmm. Pete Hegseth has eyes on Melania, all kinds of stuff that'll piss off the administration. That'd be like, okay, Hegseth out.
Mm-hmm.
They just don't know how to, play the game. They don't know how to play the game at all.
Yeah.
So as soon as I saw those stories come out, I'm like, there's no chance he's going anywhere.
And I got to tell you, unless there are American lives truly being risked or jeopardized, I don't know that I would fire the guy. I mean, this signal stuff, is it a bad look? Yes. Has this resulted in any, casualties or anything like that? The answer is no. How much of it is true? None of us really know. But you think about this, and Caroline Leavitt said it. I had the New York Post article, and Dawn, this is what you were referencing. I mean, she is of the belief, or is at least sharing and spinning it publicly, that the entire Pentagon is basically against Pete Hegseth. And that's got to be an awful feeling. When you're in a, quote, work environment, if it's true that everybody is against you because you're what? An outsider? You didn't earn your stripes behind the scenes? To me, he's earned his stripes in a more important fashion. He went and fought for his country and was willing to die. So, I mean, I would always ride with one of these outsiders that is America first, that actually put his money where his mouth was and said, yeah, I'll go overseas and lay it on the line for $3,500 a month and come back here and have terrible luck trying to find a job and have to resort to going to a place where I can fit in with military members and find my second calling. Shout out to places like the Travis Mannion Foundation for helping our soldiers. But I think there's a lot of weasels in the Pentagon. But there's also the track record of Hegseth with poor judgment. And I don't think that can be dismissed.
It is interesting to me, too, that, and I'm seeing a lot of this on Twitter and on the YouTube chat here, where people are like, these are just rumors. And look at the sources, NPR and Politico and everything like that. Well, I do agree with that. It's just funny to me when it comes out about this administration. It's like, well, it's the media. But then I heard even on these airwaves here, Amy Parnes and Jonathan Allen, they had all this rumor and innuendo about the Biden administration, and we rolled out the red carpet for them. We were like, we believe everything they say because it's against the guy that we don't like. But when it's against the guy that we do like, everybody's like, this is just fake news. This is all fake news. Well, I think the truth lies somewhere in the middle with all of this stuff.
There is some shifting around. So the Defense Department said that Hegseth's chief of staff, they moved him. I think this happened at some point yesterday that they confirmed it, that his chief of staff is now in a new role at the Pentagon. And so they've had upheaval, and some top Hegseth aides were fired late last week. So good Friday, bad for them.
Yep.
So one was, and I think we mentioned this at some point last week, his chief of staff, Joe Casper. Remember this? He was He's now going to work at the Department of Defense on special projects.
Special projects.
So apparently a piece of this is that the chief of staff is the one who apparently set up some of these chats. Mm-hmm. So I'm just inferring, or like Greg says, you know, kind of reading between the lines, that maybe the chief of staff is the one being thrown under the bus for setting things up and including too many individuals or the wrong individuals. And so he's not fired, but he's on special projects.
Mm-hmm.
And he was chief of staff.
855-839-1210. If you want to jump in, what's on the cut sheet? It is coming up next. And then we'll get to the Christy Noem story before we get out of here today. But first, a word from our friends at the Piazza Auto Group. And we're talking about Acura today, the all-new 2025 ADX. The latest addition from Acura to their precision-crafted lineup. Premium compact SUV with a breakthrough in design, performance, and innovation. With a turbocharged engine, available all-wheel drive system, and cutting-edge technology, the Acura ADX is engineered for those who demand more without a demanding price tag. And best of all, now available at Piazza Acura of Ardmore, Reading, and Westchester, where you can lease the 2025 ADX SUV for as low as $389 per month. I bet you there's many people out there, oh, Acura, oh, SUV, way out of my price range. $389 a month, probably in your price range. Check them out today, PiazzaAcura.com.
This is the Kale and Company podcast from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and on the free Odyssey app.
What's on the cut sheet?
What's on the cut sheet on Tuesday, sponsored by Rita's Italian Ice, Water Ice, Water Ice, your favorite soda, just got a cool new twist. New Cola Ice is now at Rita's. Oh, cool, Cola Ice, I like that. Yes, try the new Twisted Cola Blender drink topped with Cola Lime, Cola Lime Cream, or dig into the Cola Gelati.
Cola Lime, huh?
Stop by Rita's and grab cola treats before they are gone. Be cool at Rita's. Be cool, eat a Rita's. Be cool, eat a Rita's.
Cola and lime. Mix a little rum in there.
I was just going to say.
Yeah. Me and Pete Hegseth love you. Pete Hegseth and I.
All right, let's go back to the where we started this morning with the Maryland man.
Maryland man.
Just a father.
Just a hard-working citizen.
Who's, you know, he's just trying to provide for his kids.
Yeah.
I take care of my kids.
Yep. Hey, look.
Is that Chris Rock?
Yes. Yeah. In a world where we think a lot of youth violence results in lack of fatherhood, let's give Maryland man credit for being a dad.
So four a-hole Democrats just arrived in El Salvador to campaign for the release of an MS-13 terrorist gang member and alleged wife beater.
Yeah. This Frost character in Florida, by the way. So it's
Robert Garcia, Representative Maxwell Frost, Representative Yasmin Anasari, and Representative Maxine Dexter. Let's start with Frost, since that's where you began, Cal.
Yeah, this guy ticks me off.
Cut nine here, Phil. He was on with Will Cain yesterday, and they're like, you're a congressman from Florida. Why are you, what are you doing in El Salvador? Roll this.
Why, Congressman, are you in El Salvador? You are there for an El Salvadorian man who was a resident illegally of Maryland. You're a congressman from Florida. Why are you in El Salvador?
Well, we're here because a man who had protected status in Maryland, a Maryland man, union member, worker with a citizen wife and beautiful children, was taken out of his state and out of the United States back over here without due process. And for us, we're here for a couple of reasons. Number one is because every person in our country deserves due process. And we want to make sure that we draw the line here at Kilmer Garcia.
You know, just thinking about the nuances of immigration, is it me or have we made this such a convoluted, murky, muddy concept? Like, to me, when you talk about, you're either here legally or you're here illegally. These protected statuses and temporary visas, why do we have to make everything so complicated? This guy, to me, was a notoriously known by three agencies minimum, two judges, Tennessee State Police, as well as, I believe, one of the sheriffs in Maryland, who was quoted yesterday as saying 1,000% he is MS-13. And we're sitting here with these, trying to be these nuanced conversations of protected status and family attributes. None of that is relevant. It does not matter if he's a dad, a husband,
a union member.
He's got 17 kids, a union member. He goes to church. None of that is relevant. You're either here legally or illegally. And I mean, if you were to stack up the arguments for Republicans, and it's absurd that this is like political, and for Democrats, and you were to, how many bullets can you say? Well, here's my crux of my argument. Republicans have a far stronger case for this guy being gone than Democrats do. Democrats had, what, one judge rule in his favor? One judge? And I don't understand SCOTUS either. It's above my intellect. But I don't understand the late Friday night, early Saturday. We talked about this yesterday, Greg, with Dawn and Sean Farish. How SCOTUS is going to sit there and rule against, by the way, 7-2. It was only Thomas and Alito that dissented on this ruling. I mean, we've heard Andy McCarthy. I'd like to hear Turley, if Turley's spoken about this.
He has.
Okay.
Yes, yeah. Here's the thing. I'm conflicted on even, like Greg said earlier, talking about this. Because I'm much more comfortable talking about due process, for example, with the J6ers. That's a great example of people who were incarcerated for, what, nearly 3 years, even locally. And so I believe in due process. I just think Democrats, if this is where you want to go, it's you're digging your own grave.
By the way.
Oh, I agree.
Yeah, by the way. If he's a gang member, not a gang member, there's nuance to it.
He's got him on his knuckles.
Didn't he say that he was afraid of retribution from another? So wouldn't that indicate that he was a part of a gang, whether it was MS-13 or not?
You're not going to be dealing with retribution from one gang that rivals another if you're not a member of the other gang.
And by the way, even if he wasn't any of this, the fact that he's an alleged wife beater, get him out of the country.
Well, and here's the other thing.
All wife beaters, out of the country.
I agree.
How about that?
And forget about whether or not he's a convicted. I keep hearing this defense. Well, he's never committed a crime. He's never been convicted of blah, blah, blah. It doesn't matter. He is a confirmed MS-13 member. And under the Trump administration, they labeled MS-13 and Tren de Aragua as terrorist organizations. So once they classify and deem those two groups as terrorists, if you are a confirmed member of said terrorist group, out of the country. I mean, would Democrats be arguing if this was an ISIS member?
Probably.
Would Democrats take a road trip to the Middle East?
Probably.
And go to Afghanistan for 4 days?
All their libertarian streaks only come out during during Trump's administration. Mangle Mush says rival gang was his words. So that would indicate it was he's in a gang. So like what are we doing? Yeah. What are we doing? This is the stupidest story ever.
And the fact that I'll tell you what, how many lawyers are getting paid on this thing? Government lawyers, right? The lawyers always win, but as Yoli always says. But what I will watch for is whether or not it looks like they've already transferred him to a lower security prison, apparently, in El Salvador. And I just wonder if in El Salvador they will release him like back into society and release him from the prison. So I guess they have to vet him, and then they'll release him.
So is it confirmed?
A citizen there.
He's locked up in a lesser place?
Yes.
Okay, because I read something a day or two ago after watching the video of the photo op at that ridiculous restaurant that Van Hollen was at. I was reading that he's a free citizen in El Salvador. That he's just roaming the streets.
I don't know.
I don't even know. I don't know which one to believe on that front either. Here's what I would do if I was Bukele. And obviously, you know, Bukele and Trump had some off the record conversations behind closed doors. If I'm Bukele, I'm having him monitored 24/7.
Yeah.
But Nick, the surveillance state. No, trust me. I'm having that guy monitored.
I am. I mean, you can tell by my takes on things. I am as libertarian as the day is long. But, like, when it comes to this stuff, I don't understand this whole, you know, like, it's just, it's such a nuanced argument that 98% of the American people could give a, you know what, less about.
And, but it's still in the courts, Greg.
Yeah.
It goes back now, it went back. Right, it just went back again. Yeah. So it's still, this is still back and forth with appeals.
Yeah.
By the way, the from Arizona, there, Maxine Dexter, she's also in El Salvador. She released a video yesterday saying that she will be staying there until the MS-13 terrorist Kilmar Albrego Garcia is released. So
good. Why don't you purchase the timeshare while you're there? Have a blast.
By the way, this woman looks like every...
Yeah. And then call Wesley Financial to get out of your timeshare.
Exactly what you would think. Somebody who says, I'm staying in El Salvador.
Let me guess.
Until this man is released.
No, I've never had a visual. What's her name?
Maxine Dexter.
Okay, because I'm thinking of Maxine Waters. I didn't know we had two nut jobs named Maxine, but apparently we do.
She.
Let me guess. I did not look this up. I'm just going to guess. 62, grayish blue hair, and bad eyeglasses.
Not the bad eyeglasses, but your clothes and everything else. She looks like your neighbor in Bluebell, or she hangs out in New Hope.
I got a whole street full of them.
Roll it.
Congresswoman Maxine Dexter here, coming to you from El Salvador.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
I flew here last night with three of my colleagues to demand that Kilmar Abrego Garcia be released.
Yeah.
He is being held in violation of a Supreme Court order expressly telling the Trump administration to effectuate and facilitate his coming home. That is being ignored. This is not just a threat to all people in the United States who could be illegally abducted, detained, and transported internationally against their will. But it is a fact that our president does not recognize the branches of government and the balances of power. This is what we all have been calling a constitutional crisis, yet it is more severe than anything we've seen. We cannot stay silent. We must stay loud. I am here because I refuse to wait for something to happen. We are here to release Kilmar Abrego Garcia.
So, just for those, and it's probably a select small few, undocumented immigrants, also referred to as illegal aliens, are generally granted due process rights in the United States. This means they are entitled to certain legal protections when facing removal or other government actions, which include the right to a fair hearing, notice of charges, and the opportunity to present evidence in defense. But the issue here for me is we've gone through the court process and multiple processes how many times on this guy's case? I mean, how many more judges? Now, you get ultimately to the Supreme Court, and the Supreme Court said that, you know, they should not have deported him or they should bring them back. I will be consistent on this front. When the Supreme Court, say what you want about them, their political leanings, the fact that, you know, the legal system is in no way, shape, or form perfect, but respect for the position of the nine justices, whether they rule in your favor or against you, I do think you should adhere to that. And that applies to the Biden administration with student loan bailouts. That also would apply to the Trump administration here. But let me ask you something. And I know it's apples to oranges, but which one would you rather fight for? Would you rather fight for going against the Supreme Court if it means protecting American citizens from an MS-13 member? Or would you rather die on the hill of defying the Supreme Court over student loan bailouts? Now, they're both administrations are guilty of not adhering to a Supreme Court ruling. Although, you know what? Partisan politics aside, I'd rather be without Kilmar Abrego Garcia in this country. Just saying.
How do you think these representatives' constituents feel about that? Instead of them being in the cities and towns and states that they're elected in, they're in El Salvador trying to bring home an illegal alien.
Do you think in Chris Van Hollen's district there's anybody walking around the streets saying, boy, he did that for me too back in the day?
Yeah.
That guy will go to fight for his voters, right?
Yeah, Yeah, it's just it's unbelievable. Like they're on vacation over there. You know what I mean?
Garcia can't even vote. Think about that.
Yeah.
These people are going to bat for people that can't even increase their bottom line.
Yep.
Right?
Robert Garcia, come on down. What would you like to say about being in El Salvador?
What's really important is that Donald Trump is defying a 9-0 decision of the Supreme Court to bring Kilmer Abrego Garcia back home to the United States. Lower courts have affirmed that. The administration has said they sent him here by accident. And this is a massive due process crisis in our country. Donald Trump cannot defy the Supreme Court. We've got to raise the attention, not just in the U.S., but here, and demand his release.
All right. Well, then I guess what is the because we keep going around in circles with this absurd story that's now 4 weeks old that won't go away. What is the ultimate solution? Trump says no, and the Supreme Court says yes. So does he just stay? Does somebody from the government go and bring him back and give him whatever he's entitled to under due process, and then he's jettisoned back out? Does he get shipped back out to somewhere other than El Salvador? Mm. What is the ultimate end game here? Because until we actually have a final result, it's just back and forth. It's like a tennis match. We're just volleying the ball back and forth.
I hate to tell you, but like in the court of public opinion, if you're arguing due process rights, you're losing.
Oh, I agree.
Yeah.
I agree. This is a loser for Democrats. And I think you look at Harry Enten or Steve Kornacki, most Americans, a majority, or as Harry Enten would say, a plurality of the electorate agrees with Trump on his immigration policies. So again, they're on the losing side of this. I'm just wondering that, because this story does not go away until one of two things happen, right? Either Garcia is brought back,
yeah,
or Garcia is brought back and then sent back and given whatever quote he was not granted.
So in the same county where Kilmer Abrego Garcia lived before he was deported, there is the murder of a 23-year-old Maryland mother. Her body finally found buried in the forest. She was strangled to death, and an illegal immigrant and his uncle are charged with her murder. So it's interesting that you have this murder allegedly at the hands of an illegal immigrant and his uncle. I don't know if the uncle is also accused of being illegal, but as an alleged accessory. But you don't see that in the headlines. And so I think in Maryland, in that area, it is the lead story right now. And so I can only imagine for Van Hollen and other lawmakers, people looking around saying, are you kidding me? You're talking about the Maryland father. What about another Maryland mother who was, her body was just found? She was strangled to death.
He was a House of Representative member for the 8th and the 18th districts in Maryland. If anybody knows what those districts are or where they are or what it includes, there you go. The 8th and the 18th district.
Just so you know, the Trump administration, what they're arguing, what their Defense Department is saying in court is that the way they read this SCOTUS ruling that we've been referring to is that, well, if El Salvador lets Kilmer out of jail and he shows up at the border, I guess we have to let him back in. Like that's basically what they're arguing, that's how they interpret that ruling.
Well, that's the thing that's frustrating about SCOTUS sometimes is with their decisions and their opinions that come down, sometimes they're not even definitive in, you know, they give you their opinion, but it leaves so many things open for interpretation and judgment, which is frustrating to me because this is supposed to be the court of last resort where you go all the way up the food chain of the appellate courts and the appeals process, and then you think you're going to get closure and finality to a case, and then sometimes you're just still there scratching your head.
We'll get to Jonathan Turley in just one second. It's the art of the tease, ladies and gentlemen. Let's start with, finish here with it. Yasmin Ansari, this woman...
Is she from Baywatch? By the way. Oh, no, that's Yasmin Bleeth.
By the way, again, if you had to picture what a woman...
Not Yasmin Bleeth.
Who went to El Salvador to argue for the release of a terrorist, guy who's affiliated with a terrorist organization, it would be this woman. YouTube.com/at1210WPHD. Get on over there right now, and please, when you're here, hit the like and subscribe buttons.
And also, by the way, now that they are deemed terrorist organizations, which they should be, these individuals have killed more Americans than any Middle Eastern terrorist organization. Okay? So when you think about MS-13 and Tren de Aragua and the fentanyl trafficking in this country, hundreds of thousands of Americans dying a year by drugs, not to mention the horrific stories that Dawn gives you with murders and women being abused and killed. This 20-fold more than any radical Islamic terrorist.
You should see the way they kill. Like these cartels, the MS, the way they kill. Like there's no, you know, like back in the day, the mafia, there was honor amongst thieves because they wouldn't go after wives, they wouldn't go after children.
They just put a slug in the husband's head and then bury him under the metal.
Exactly. You know, you cross them, you may end up 6 feet under.
Yeah.
Or in the Pine Barrens in New Jersey.
At least you get a proper burial.
But they would never go after wives and kids. These animals, these savages, they don't care. Mm-hmm. They'll hang you, you know, with your throat slit from an overpass. They don't care.
Go back to Lake and Riley's killer.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, he's sitting there beating her to death with a cinder block or a rock?
God. Yeah.
Well, that's it. There's particular malice against women and girls.
Yeah, of course.
People are savages.
Roll this Democrat rep.
Hi, everyone. This is Congresswoman Yasemin Ansari. After a long day, we have arrived in El Salvador. I am here with several of my colleagues to demand that Donald Trump release Kilmar Abrego Garcia, union member, Maryland man who was wrongfully detained and deported, has never been convicted of a crime, and who the United States Supreme Court has ruled 9-0 unanimously. The United States must facilitate his return. Last night, I had a town hall in my district where a woman came and said her son, who is Salvadoran, they are scared to travel this summer because what if what happened to Kilmar Garcia happens to them? If there's not due process for Kilmar, there will be no due process for anyone. We want to make sure that Kilmar is still alive. We want to make sure that he has access to counsel. We want to make sure that the United States does what it's supposed to do, follow the Supreme Court of the United States, and release him, and we are here fighting for the future of our democracy.
Can you imagine? These people are going to a different country and arguing that a person who is here illegally needs to come back.
Yep.
What world are we in?
And she's sitting there saying, well, there's other people in my jurisdiction that are of El Salvadorian descent, and if they take a summer vacation, they might disappear too. Well, as long as they're not in MS-13... or Tren de Aragua.
And they're here legally.
They have nothing to worry about. Here's the other thing, too. When they sit here and they talk about MS-13 and everybody has basically confirmed that he is MS-13, what do you think he does within MS-13 Democrats? Do you think he's in, like, the MS-13 HR department?
Yeah, he might be.
Is he in accounting? Is he do the payroll?
Yeah, he's not a member of the gang.
He does the clerical work.
He does the wallpaper.
Yeah, he's the front office receptionist. Give me a break.
All right, Jonathan Turley, 14 here. On the Abrego Garcia case, roll those.
Down. So let's start with that Garcia case. Okay, so the Supreme Court, there's this big argument about what they said in their order about getting him back. They deferred to the district court saying, all right, there's language there, facilitate and effectuate getting him back. But they said this, the intended scope of the term effectuate in the district court's order is unclear, may exceed the district court's authority. The district court should clarify its directive with due regard for the deference owed to the executive branch in the conduct of foreign affairs. Jonathan, Trump administration is saying that means essentially we don't have to do everything in our power to try to get him back.
Right. The Trump administration is adopting a pretty artificially narrow interpretation. They're saying that if they bring him to our doorstep, we have to open the door. The district court clearly disagrees and basically said, I feel unfacilitated. Well, this is the problem with what the Supreme Court did. You can get a unanimous decision if no one can agree what you said. Mm-hmm. And they said you have to facilitate, but they didn't define what that means. And at the same time, the deference accord that the judge has shown to the executive branch has not been robust. And the Trump administration is saying, look, they clearly said that we have a foreign policy prerogative here, and you cannot force us to bring an El Salvadoran who's in an El Salvadoran prison back to the United States unless El Salvador agrees, and they don't.
So the district court has said, listen, I want to know in accounting exactly what you're doing. The Supreme Court has told you you have to work on getting this guy back. They then, the Trump administration, appealed to the Fourth Circuit, which is not known as a super left-wing crazy court. And this is what the Fourth Circuit said. The government is asserting a right to stash away residents of this country in foreign prisons without the semblance of due process. That is the foundation of our constitutional order. It should be shocking, not only to judges, but to the intuitive sense of liberty that Americans far removed from courthouses still hold dear. Again, they were using the word resident, not citizen, because this person does not have legal protections.
That's true. And the words that you just quoted were from one of the more conservative judges on the Fourth Circuit, Judge Jay Wilkinson, who's well-known, very respected. And what was interesting in his opinion is he said that, look, the Supreme Court, yes, it did tell the district judge that you have to be respectful of the executive's prerogatives, the executive's right to conduct foreign affairs and supervise immigration. But at the same time, the executive branch needs to be respectful of court orders and respectful of the judiciary. And I thought, actually, he kind of hit the soaring prose level of his opinion, where he basically said, we all need to get along to make our system work, that all sides, all branches of the government need to respect one another and work together to get this right.
Not really working.
So that's, to me, the back and forth volleying that I mentioned earlier, is you have these judges that are sitting there saying the Trump administration should respect our ruling, and the Trump administration is saying you should respect our foreign policy. And that's the thing that's frustrating for me as a Trump voter, is I voted for this. And I don't like the fact that we have judges that are trying to commandeer and one-up a president who's got a foreign policy, in their words, prerogative to operate in this form and fashion. And I think most Americans agree with this. This is the reason why, or one of the main two, three reasons that Trump won. And I'll go back to what I said yesterday when Sean was on. If this is the way the process is going to play out, we're never going to be able to deport all of these people that are justifiably deportable, because it's going to get caught up in court. All these tax dollars are going to be wasted on the litigation process. And ultimately, to think about this at the most simplistic view, if Trump can't execute what he wants to execute with immigration, we don't have a border then. We just have people coming in, or people that have been here, and the Trump administration is going to basically round them up and then do what? They're not going to be able to deport? So are they going to stay in an American prison on our taxpayer dollars? That's the whole frustrating part here, is you have this lawfare of judges, whether they're conservative or not. And by the way, just because you're a conservative justice doesn't mean you like Trump. There are plenty of conservatives out there that don't like Trump. So I'm tired of hearing, well, just because he's a conservative justice, that doesn't mean anything. It doesn't mean he's going to always rule with Trump, whether we like it or not.
Well, you know, a couple of things. First and foremost, to your point of this administration deporting people like they have quickly and effectively. And by the way, out of the hundreds that were sent over, nobody's fighting for the others, right? They're mostly saying one guy. So one guy out of hundreds. So I guess if you look at this by omission, you say, well, gee, what about the hundreds of others who are now, you know, deported and are in those prisons and those huge, like, mega prisons in El Salvador? So is everybody agreeing that those other dudes are some bad, dangerous dudes and they deserve to be back there? And so to me, if I'm Trump, I'm saying, guys, again, dot your I's, cross your T's. If this guy got caught up in the net and he shouldn't have, or he should have, figure this out. But I think the problem here, the real problem that I see, is that you have El Salvador's president saying, no, 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 this is my citizen in El Salvador, and we're not giving him back. Do you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So now it creates a foreign, you know, policy diplomacy issue. These judges and justices, they can rule all they want about due process, which I agree with. But once somebody's over there in El Salvador, what are you going to do?
Do you think illegal aliens or identified terrorists should be granted due process rights in America?
They do. They are.
I know they are.
They have to be. And ICE will tell you that. When I've interviewed those guys, when I talk to those, they say, look, even if we arrest, everybody gets due process, because that's kind of our thing in America. We believe in liberty. We believe in due process, even for the most heinous, you know, accused criminals. And so that is our thing. But in this case, what's the deterrent? I think this entire case with Trump doubling down and saying, no, 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 If you're a bad hombre and we catch you, we're going to boot your butt in the middle of the night. And I think what that does is it is forcing a lot of people to self-deport.
Mm-hmm.
We've seen that by the thousands.
What do Maryland residents think of this? People who actually live there, about the Maryland dad. Fox News went out to Maryland to discuss this or to ask questions about this. This is cut 23, Phil, if you have this. There it is. Roll it.
He was living in Maryland, designated MS-13 terrorist, and Donald Trump deported him. Mm-hmm. How does that make you feel?
I feel safer.
He gotta go. He gotta go.
Need to go. I mean, that's it.
But he was a father.
But he's still a terrorist.
Okay. I mean, but there's children living with our fathers now.
He should have picked the tree, so he picked to be a terrorist instead of worrying about his children.
The Democrats, they want him back.
Right.
They say he was
Can
wrong.
You stop it for 1 second? Because what's more interesting to me about this whole thing is that whoever this numbnut says that's doing this.
Johnny.
That's Johnny, whatever. Man about town. Okay, yeah, he's the he'll be Jesse Waters in 20 years.
I don't watch this crap like you two do.
He was here for the Eagles parade.
Who cares?
I got a picture with him.
Who cares?
He's good at what he does.
What's more interesting to me is the fact that he has to explain to these people what the case is. And this is what I mean. This is what I started out saying at 6 o'clock, is that like 98% of the American people have no idea about this case.
So that's your observation.
Yep.
I have a different takeaway. To me, I think this goes beyond politics and gender and race. Did you see all the people there? For those that are not watching, every person that he interviewed was a black female.
Yep.
Black females, short of white females, are the lowest percentage of Trump voters. We gave you the clip yesterday from Steve Kornacki. White college-educated liberal women are the biggest thorn in Trump's ass. Black females are the second thorn in his ass, and they even agree with Trump on deportations of bad MS-13 members.
That's right.
So that's not raging white Karen liberal in Arizona. This is black females in somewhere in Maryland, wherever Johnny Numbnuts is. And even they're like, well, I don't care that he's a dad. He's a terrorist as well.
Yep.
Who gives a damn if he's a dad? Imagine that. I've used that before. I rob Kohl's. You think the Whitpain Township Police is letting me off the hook because I'm a dad?
Nope.
Charles Manson was a dad too. By the way.
Yeah.
He had many offspring.
Yeah.
With his
congratulations, you procreated another human being. What is that? A get out of jail for free card? Like, is this Monopoly?
91 Ellis Extra says these dummies he's interviewing are more concerned with Drake versus Kendrick Lamar. roll this.
And a kid who's a citizen. They're calling this a national emergency. Is this a national emergency?
I wouldn't call it a national emergency. We got more things going on.
We have more things, more fish to fry.
I just found out about it, so I don't think so.
What kind of national emergency? For what? What is an emergency for?
I ain't no national emergency, no.
He was accused of hitting his wife twice and was a suspected human smuggler. Was he wrongfully deported?
No. He need to go.
If he's a smuggler, yeah, he need to be deported.
It's better to be safe than sorry.
Your senator here, Chris Van Hollen, he flew to El Salvador where this guy was deported. He met with him, had lunch with him, had margaritas on the table. What's up with your senator?
I have no idea, but I do believe that was a waste of taxpayer dollars.
Margaritas!
Don't agreeing with somebody whooping their wife, terrorizing where you live, then you don't need to live here either.
Senator Van Hollen, you need to come see me, Mr. Coley, because you're doing like that. You need to take care of home before you go to going to other states.
He went to El Salvador.
Oh, that's another country. Excuse me.
What has Senator Chris Van Hollen ever done for you?
Nothing.
Nothing. For me? Nothing.
Nothing that I know of.
He ain't do me. I can admit that.
I've never even heard of this person.
Do you want Kilmar Abrego Garcia, this quote-unquote Maryland dad, living back in Maryland?
No.
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 Not if he's doing trafficking, no.
Why the f*** want somebody like that back? No.
What is your message to the Democrats who really want him back in your community?
Why would you want that in my community? Bring it to your community and see how long you like it up there.
Leave them.
Or y'all go over there with them.
You're focused on the wrong thing.
If they illegal cops.
And guess what? Janice in New Hope, deep down inside, she agrees with them.
Agreed.
She'll grift. Mm-hmm. She'll virtue signal.
Yep.
but nobody wants a cartel member in their neighborhood.
Yeah.
Nobody.
How about the one lady struck me, better safe than sorry.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that, yes, that sums it up.
Yes.
All right, one more on this. This is a Maryland sheriff who says he 1,000% believes that...
I thought I saw this guy.
Kiomara Abrego Garcia is an MS-13 member. This is cut 13, Phil. You have it there? Yeah, there you go.
What do you make of all this? This is the same Democrat Senator Van Hollen who voted along with three dozen or so Democrat senators against the Lincoln Riley Act, walked out of President Trump's joint session address when the president talked about women murdered by illegal aliens. What do we know about Garcia?
Well, it's absolutely appalling that this is where Senator Van Hollen and many Democrats, the many that are down there right now, want to focus their efforts on an individual who certainly has MS-13 ties, and I 100% believe, 1,000% believe him to be an MS-13 member from everything I've read out of the police reports and what has been released. You know, this isn't just an average person on the street. This is somebody that the police have looked at and been able to tie, and two immigration judges have tied him to MS-13. This just isn't a victim of circumstance, of unfortunate circumstance. This is an individual who should not be in our country, who was ordered for removal, and the mistake being apparently he couldn't be removed to El Salvador. I agree with one of the earlier guests I saw on an earlier program. If that's the case, then take him to the embassy in El Salvador, do the paperwork, and move him somewhere else. But he does not need to be in this country victimizing the citizens here.
You know, I thought it spoke volumes yesterday when we played the clip of Strahan from Good Morning America on ABC, where he asked Garcia's wife about the her filing of a PFA, and I think it was a restraining order for domestic violence, and she had nothing to say. I mean, she was completely silent. Now, that's not grounds for deportation, I get it, but that is an aggravating circumstance, and that's just another piece to the puzzle that goes to show you the full picture that this is a bad individual.
Well, I was looking at the DHS data. By the thousands, people are using the Biden app that they did the reversal. They're, by the thousands, people are self-deporting because they fear they don't want to end up in that mega prison.
What a great use of an app. It used to be how you would come into the country. Yep. Now you can see yourself out with it. That's brilliant.
It's amazing.
And that's Christy Noem. She did all those ads, and she said, if you don't want to end up here, go to the app and just self-deport, because if you do that, you do the right thing.
DEI hire, Christina.
You have a shot to, why? Because of her, she has some beautiful lips.
Yeah,
does.
She does.
She's dope.
She does it for me. Hard to believe she's a grandmother.
Yeah, young
grandma.
Yeah. She had kids young.
Sorry, I'm going to defend her later in the show. I'm going to butt heads with Stalker.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, I'm going to defend Christy.
You know, you should never carry around your passport.
Is that right?
Yeah, you should not carry around your passport.
I always lose mine.
That's
right. Every time I get ready to travel, social security card nowhere to be found, passport nowhere to be found.
Photograph everything, but you know, even when you travel overseas, you're supposed to keep it in the safe. So why she had her passport in her pocketbook? With who cares about the cash? Don't carry your passport.
Because she's a dope.
All right, so we want to
was she about to travel?
No. Are we doing this now?
Why does she need that?
Okay. No, we have to break.
By the way, Snow Bunny Gal says on X, can one of you guys please post the interview of the people in Maryland, the man the about town?
Yeah.
She says, I really want to watch it later when I get off of work. Bunny Gal.
Or go to YouTube and watch it right now.
I don't think she's capable of watching it right now.
All right,
I think she wants us to clip it later.
Okay.
Yeah, I love the Johnny stuff. He and his crew, he has a crew of three guys. He has a sound guy, a video. You should see their fabulous crew.
Yeah?
Yeah, well, they work at Fox. Of course they work at Fox.
It's like, amazing. But when he did Spring Breakers and he was asking, who's the Speaker of the House? They say, Caroline Leavitt.
You know what? I'm a team guy. I'm riding with my crew. Dawn, Greg.
Yeah, baby.
Jimmy and Phil.
Woo!
Yeah. Hey Johnny. What do they call him? Johnny what? What's his name? Johnny, man on the street?
Yeah.
You don't have a Jimmy Kelly with you, do you? No, I didn't think so. That's right. I got your back, Kelly. Leslie's in South Philadelphia. Leslie, you're on Talk Radio 1210.
Yes. What would you like me to comment on? Because first, before I can mention Hegseth,
But before that, I wanted to mention that I think Trump, as a sort of like a, an across-the-aisle move to also change the public discussion away from Hegseth, give a compassionate pardon to Bob Menendez and his wife as soon as his wife is sentenced, okay? So, and that would make a lot of friends, because Menendez did have a lot of buddies and still does, I'm sure, in the Senate. And I think his son is in the House. Anyway, moving along. So, Hegseth took his wife to a European publicized meeting with his counterparts. Now, Trump, who has been married several times also, and confides and admits, you know, to his wife, and had his daughter and son-in-law with full classification allowances. So Trump, this is fine with Trump. Hello?
Yeah, go ahead. I'm listening. Okay, yeah, okay. I'm just trying to see if you're going to connect the dots here.
Take calls.
Yeah. So what I think is that Hegseth should just bow along, and he should get his wife the formal clearance. And as the Pentagon is just chock full of CIA masquerading as, you know, military and all this.
Your radio's turning off all over the Delaware Valley.
Leslie, let me ask you, Leslie. So I just want to get to the point here. So do you think Pete Hegseth is in over his head? Do you think he should be fired?
No. No, he just has to look. He is with the stealthiest people in the world.
Okay,
and he has to start stepping up to the fact that he cannot.
Right.
You cannot be using the same thing, sure. And they can even guess that he's on this.
That was just amazing to me. I was going to try to hit the out time, and Stalker told me to take the call, I'm like, all right, we take the call, and we get that. But thank you, Leslie.
Thank you, Leslie.
Thanks, Leslie.
Made some Leslie. Lovely points.
We're all
were,
out of
I don't
points.
Know, but they're great points.
I love.
Trump doesn't confide. Does he confide in Melania? I don't think he. Melania doesn't have.
They don't speak.
I'm going to
confide in Melania.
Greg, they were adorable yesterday, holding hands.
Yeah, I'm sure.
And there were some really adorable moments yesterday.
Here's $1 million. Please appear with me at the egg roll hunt. Or
they were darling yesterday, blowing their whistles in unison. No, they were cute.
Oh yeah, they're adorable.
I'm going to confide in a blowtorch. Kaley Company, we got a break, right?
Yeah, by the way, I have some amazing things on the other side. Can we get into Nancy Mace?
We can get into Kristi Noem, Nancy Mace.
Nancy Mace.
Any hot Republican women I can get into.
And a woman, two women, one woman just started going on an unhinged yelling fest at this guy with a MAGA hat. We have that. And a woman pepper sprays a Muslim Uber driver after he began praying in Arabic.
Yep.
And I want to get your take on this, what you guys think of this. She was found guilty, and, you know, she's, yeah. but the video was released, and I just want to.
Made her feel a little uncomfortable.
Yeah,
huh?
It made her feel a little uncomfortable. I don't know. I'm just saying.
I'm going to need to hear the facts of the case.
You're going to see it all. Get on over to YouTube, youtube.com/at12.wph.
I judge everything individually on its own merit, folks. Kale and Company, 8 o'clock hour. Brought to you by Bucks County Estate Traders. Furnish your home and make a statement by spring for one of the trips to Bucks County Estate Traders, because right now you might be in the market for, you know, some pieces to your home. It could be your dining room, your living room, your bedroom. Well, they have 16,000 plus pieces of all high quality famous brands that have been meticulously cared for and curated by their experts. I met the owner, Matt, myself, and he looks over every single item that he brings into his showroom. Visit BucksCountyEstateTraders.com today or see the showroom in Hatfield.
So my friends at Piazza Premium Automobiles, you know that I'm reporting to you from the Piazza Premium Automobile Studio, and they feature the latest luxury vehicles from today's top brands. I'm talking about Mercedes-Benz, Jaguar, Land Rover, BMW, Porsche, Alfa Romeo, Maserati, and more. These models, they have such sleek new designs and innovative features that are powered by the very latest in technology. And right now, Piazza has thousands of new as well as certified pre-owned vehicles that are available across their Pennsylvania, Delaware, and New Jersey dealerships. Piazza Premium Automobiles always stands out. Visit them, PiazzaPremiumAutos.com, P-I-A-Z-Z-A, PiazzaPremiumAutos.com. Tell them Dawn sent you.
Start your day with Kale and Company, weekday mornings 6 till 10 on Talk Radio 1210, WPHT, and the free Odyssey app.